steadily, now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Another week, another show here with Tony Sands. Later on the show, we're going to bring in my main man, Bibbs, as we talk deep into sports. When I say deep into sports, so deep, we're talking investigations. We're talking play calling at this point in the game. That's right. Let's get into it. Let's get into the show, because this is the show that brings you up to date information on the hottest topics going in sports and in life. But let's get into the show. And let me tell you why it's so important that we got to get into the show, because we got so many topics that was going on in sports this week that we got to bring it to you. We got to bring it to the listeners. If you're out there listening and you're listening to the Tony Sands Show, you can call us here on the Tony Sands Show at 530-413-9537 or 530-513-6472. And you can chime in. You can also call us on our 800 number, which is 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. and in Canada. That's 888-429-5471 here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to talk Dallas Cowboys. And we're going to talk Dallas Cowboys for several reasons. We're going to talk Dallas Cowboys because Dallas Cowboys, earlier, coming out of last season, Jerry Jones stated that he will shake things up with the Dallas Cowboys. And you notice, Dallas Cowboys, after stating that, the Dallas Cowboys went silent. They went small talk. You didn't hear much. They didn't make a big move in free agency. But all of a sudden, hey, Jerry Jones decides there's got to be a change. And you'll listen to that change. You're going to see what that change was here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to also get into one of the hottest topics going, the Heat and the Spurs, Game 1 NBA Finals, first game in Miami. LeBron James speaks that he hasn't forgotten 2007. You will hear that deeper in the show on the Tony Sands Show in our second half of this show. Big Ben has knee surgery. Let's charm in and see how this affects the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris Perez, Cleveland Indians player, being investigated for shipment of marijuana. You're going to find that out here on the Tony Sands Show. And also, one of the a strange twist of events took place when it comes to basketball. Michael Jordan is known as one of the greatest players to play this game, was left off of Karl Malone's top five of all time. Stay tuned here about pretty much into about that 8:40 hour here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to talk about Karl Malone's top five candidates that he of all time that he would pick if he had to start a team. And let's see why Michael Jordan didn't make that list here on the Tony Sands Show. But we're going to get Bibbs in a little bit about 8:07. But before that, we're going to go to a commercial break. You're going to come back, and we're talking Dallas Cowboys and where they're going in 2013. Stay tuned here for the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a commercial break, and you stay tuned. Dallas Cowboys, hot topic in this year's sports world.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Now we rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball. Yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and we're back with my main man, Bibbs, our insider that's on the ground in the great state of Texas. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Bibbs. What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, Tony. I'm blessed, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm telling you, man, every time we can get on the air every Wednesday and talk to the listeners, it is always a pleasure. And bringing your insight to the Tony Sands Show, because here we go again. Another day in Jerry's Big Top. And what I call it, Jerry's Big Top. And as you know, when you talk Big Top, you always talk about circus. You know, you talk about the great circus. And there it is, a circus going on again in Valley Ranch. What is going on out in Dallas? What are the fans thinking about the moves that Jerry Jones is making? Now, you remember Jerry Jones stated that he will shake things up in Valley Ranch, and that he is doing. What is some of the fans saying about these moves that you are hearing in that Dallas area?
Well, from what I've gotten from the fans, a lot of people seem to be a little frustrated with the way Jerry's handling, you know, his team. Like he's taking all summer, all spring to come out and basically come out and say who's going to, you know, be calling offensive plays for the 2013-14 season. Or whatever, and he came out and stated that Bill Callahan will be taking over as the play caller, which will be basically, you know, not necessarily demoting Jason Garrett, but, you know, basically giving him an opportunity to just head coach and learn some other things about head coaching that he might need to know going forth in his career. But the fans are basically frustrated, though. I mean, at the end of the day, they're frustrated because they feel like, like you said, it's circus going on, and it's like they're leading up to basically another mediocre or lackluster season by, you know, having all this drama unfolding in OTAs.
But now, if I'm going to do it, if I'm an owner, and this is the part I think that's making it such a stir in the circus. Early, you know, Jerry Jones with, you know, ESPNDallas.com did an article. And I'm going to tell you, the way they say Jerry announced this, it made a stir. And these are quotes from the article, and it said, owner Jerry Jones created a stir Tuesday when he told reporters a decision on the play calling has been made a week ago, and to watch practice to give them any hint about who it may be. So he didn't come out and say that it was. He came out and said, watch practice. In a natural realm of things, you would say, okay, hey, I'm turning over play calling to Bill Callahan. I feel that Jason Garrett needs to step back a little bit and handle the coaching aspect of football at the NFL level. But he didn't do it. He went out and left it in the eyes of a reporter. And you know, once you leave it in the eyes of us, the media, we come to all kinds of conclusions. But so give me a little bit on that. Then we got a caller that we're going to go to from Florida. But give me a little bit on the way you thought that Jerry Jones handled this situation. Was it a great way to handle it, or you felt he should have went ahead and made it known that, you know, this was going to be?
Honestly, Tony, I don't really understand his logic behind, you know, saying that he made a decision last week, a week ago, and not just coming out a week ago and stating that this is who he's going to be calling the plays for this upcoming season. Like, why drag it out, you know, and give the media opportunity to bash you even more? But at the end of the day, I really felt this is all part of just playing. Like, he likes to be in the spotlight, the limelight, whatever you want to call it. And he likes for his team to be, you know, make a splash at all times, even during the offseason. And, like, the Dallas Cowboys is a well-noted team, and they're always talked about within sports media or the media in general.
Correct.
And this is just another case of Jerry Jones wanting to be in the limelight. You know, at the end of the day, I feel like this is his plan, and if he wants, you know, Jason Garrett to step back and become be the head coach and not call plays, he want to let Bill Callahan call the plays, and if they fail at that, then he's going to fire everybody has to do with the offense, keep the defensive team, and he's going to hire John Gruden. That's my take on it. He's going to hire John Gruden if everything fails, and then once and if they succeed, then all the glory goes to him because he made all these decisions.
He made the great decision. But now tell me this: if you see this ship starting to go astray early in the season, do he pull the trigger and say, "I'm gonna put Bill Callahan as acting head coach," and at this point, we have relieved Jason Garrett of his duty? Because when you start looking at the way this thing is mixing up, and I looked at some of the things when I read a lot of this, and I went to doing my research on a lot of this, and as it stated, you know, it said, you know, Bill Callahan, who is the offensive coordinator and the O-line coach, said Tuesday he will be calling plays for the Dallas Cowboys in 2013. But head coach Jason Garrett, who has handled the duty since 2007, wouldn't confirm anything. Now, if I'm a person that's looking in on this thing, I'm saying to myself, wow, that sounds like some confusion, some people on some, one person's thinking this way, one person's thinking that way. Does that send that down through the locker room?
Yeah, with that being the head coach and the owner and the, you know, the new offensive coordinator, or you want to call it offensive line coach, I feel like everybody should be on one accord. You shouldn't have one. If one person's not going to say anything, then nobody shouldn't say anything. If Jason Garrett's not going to come out and confirm that he's not going to call plays, then Bill Callahan shouldn't have been coming out saying that he is calling plays. If anybody's going to speak, you should just let Jerry speak, because he's the one with the big mouth and he's the one who caused all the controversy. So let him be the one to come out, you know, and state what's going to happen for the upcoming season. As far as them just being on the same page is what I think they're going right now. They're not on the same page, and it's going to be a disaster at the end of the day if everything doesn't go like they want it to go.
And that's what I said when I look at this whole thing. I think trickles down through a locker room, and do players start picking sides? Do they say, okay, we feel as players, Jason Garrett is our guy that should be calling plays. Here go Bill Callahan coming in, a guy that has questions on his character when it came to the Super Bowl. Do we trust this guy? A lot of things going on. But before we continue in this article, we have a call on the line. Chris, Chris, welcome from Florida. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Coach. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. As you hear, and we're talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, and the things that are going on with them. But, you know, we got a lot of topics going on. How do you feel about if you was a player playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and here it is, your offensive coordinator, your head coach is making the plays, calling the plays, and all of a sudden now is things changing? Would that affect you as a player on which coach that you would follow?
To be honest, coming as a wide receiver standpoint, you know, as a wide receiver, you usually think, you know, you got to adapt to change much quicker than you think, because, you know, at the NFL, it's a much faster level. So, you know, you have to keep up with that tempo, even though it's a new coaching system or a new playbook coming in, something like that. But you have to understand, well, heck, this is a new coach, so I'm going to have to adapt to this because it's a quick tempo, because game time coming around soon and I need to be with it. So I really wouldn't say it would affect me. But at the same time, it would be a weird transition coming from one coaching era to a different one.
Okay, all right. And Chris, now, and you play college football, and let the people know what school you play for.
Stetson University.
And Stetson University now, and you guys got to figure Stetson University is a school that's this will be you guys' first year playing, correct?
Yes, sir.
And before we let you go, how you think your season is going to play out, which this being you guys' first season, you're going to get used to traveling, you're going to get used now to, you know, getting ready for a game, getting ready for school and all that. How do you see your season playing out?
I feel it plays out pretty well because, you know, we had this whole year to come together as a team, because most teams, they usually don't get the chance to, like, bond up and gel together. Like, they have such a short time, and we actually had a full year to come together as a team, learn each other well, as in position-wise. Receivers learning their quarterbacks, cornerbacks learning with their safeties. You know, everybody was able to gel well quickly together because, you know, it was a family thing. You know, it was an August 6th, had a takeover type thing. You know, we all had that same mindset to where, okay, this may be a long year, but, you know, when the season comes, you know, we're all going to be brothers on that field. We're going to be helping each other out. We're going to make this one of the greatest years that Stetson has ever had.
There, you heard it. You heard my main man, Chris speak on Stetson University. Guys, you got to follow Stetson University this year because Chris is looking to have a big season. Chris, man, hey, thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show, giving us your insight here on the Dallas Cowboys. But we're back now. Now, Bibbs, now, we talked to Chris, and he said it wouldn't affect him as a player as much. But one thing I read in this article as I'm looking at this thing, it's been a while, you know, really, since Bill Callahan has called plays, if people don't really know.
Right, right. I want to say the last time he called plays was the early 2000s with the Oakland Raiders.
No. It's been even further since then. The last time Billy Callahan has called plays is when he was with Nebraska.
Oh, this is
the last time he's called plays was when he was with Nebraska.
Right, right, yeah. And I do remember his stint with Nebraska because he came in and caused the controversy with him changing Nebraska from an option style offense to a spread. You know, and West Coast, whatever type of offense he was used to running, you know, they had more receivers on the field now. Now, I actually do remember that. And Nebraska wasn't that successful in that when he was there.
No,
At all.
So now here we go. A guy that technically, quote unquote, really haven't called plays since his days at Nebraska. And then that didn't go well. Then you come off a guy that had some controversy that he possibly may have through the Super Bowl game.
Right, right.
And now all of a sudden this guy becomes your offensive play caller. I'm Jason Garrett. I know these things. If my ship is going to sink, guys, it's going to sink with me being at the helm. I don't want my ship to sink because of another guy. Because to me, sometimes I say, okay, maybe Bill Callahan want to become the head coach at the Dallas Cowboys, so he sabotaged my year. Because it has been stated that he will sabotage. That is out there. You as a head coach, you in Jason Garrett's position, will that be something that you fight against? Because all of a sudden now, this guy can sabotage Jason Garrett.
I think that it's a possibility that it'll be in the back of Jason Garrett's mind. But, you know, they are professionals. And from what I've read and from what Jerry's come out and said, he said that Jason Garrett is not coaching for his job for this upcoming season. I mean, that's just talk. And, you know, he can change his mind anytime throughout the season. But I don't think that Bill Callahan is going to sabotage. I don't think Bill Callahan is going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys at all anyway. So I think he'll be offensive coordinator this year. And if that doesn't go good for him or for some reason the Dallas Cowboys take a step back on offense, then he won't be back next year. He won't be so back next year as the offensive coordinator or any assistant or anything. And I don't think Jason Garrett will be back either.
So you really think, and you made it strong when you stated it earlier, your prediction on who you think will be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I want you to say that again because you said it with a strong voice when you talked about it. Now, so
I honestly think, you know, Jerry thinks he's a genius and he's already hired Chucky, if they call him Chucky.
Chucky.
He's his defensive staff, John, and he gives the offense, which is Jason Garrett and Bill Callahan, an opportunity to show up this year. And if they don't show up or make the playoffs or, you know, even make the playoffs and do anything in the playoffs, then they won't be back next year, and he's going to hire John Gruden. John Gruden has been offered positions to have in the NFL, and he has yet to take any position. I don't see why he wouldn't take the Dallas Cowboys head coaching position. He might be just waiting in the wings. They might have already had discussions behind the scenes, and I'm not saying that I've heard that, but you never know. With Jerry Jones and with the NFL and the way business is done in the NFL. And he might have already had this conversation. And it's already kind of shows he hired defensive coordinator Monty Kiffin and he went and got Rob Marinelli. Both of those are two key defensive staff from Gruden's era, in Tampa Bay. So, you know, it just kind of points it points in that direction. Now, I could be wrong. But I definitely see, and I wouldn't see why not hire John Gruden. I mean, he was a winner. You know, he won a Super Bowl.
If things go astray, and I state this, if things go astray early, I think at this point Jerry Jones decides to make a drastic move. I really do. I think he makes a move that say, you know what, I got to get this team back to winning. I got to figure out how to get to winning. Now, my only thing is that how do a guy like Chucky coexist in a world of Jerry Jones? That's my biggest question of that.
And I got your answer. He coexists in a world with Al Davis.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Al Davis is like, if not worse than Jerry Jones. I think he can do it.
I truly understand what you're saying. But even in this article, Jason Garrett said, however, he don't see no real advantage in revealing this at this point in June. He didn't see no advantage in it at all, but he's going to do whatever he's on board with every decision that is made by the organization. He is on board for that. That he is.
Right.
So with that, we're going to head to a commercial. Then we're going to come back out, B. We're going to come back out with an audio track 14 coming out of commercial break. And then me and you're going to break down that audio of what you think about what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. Well, let's head to a short commercial break, and then we're going to come back and listen to the audio. Man, we're going to break it down, and then we're going to head into a little bit of Major League Baseball.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause Sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B. Sensational Parties and More by Clendra Sands. Where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversary, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clendra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
Jerry Jones has acknowledged that Jason Garrett is not going to be calling the plays, that Bill Callahan is this season. And I think you see a trend here. Basically, go back the entire offseason. Jason Garrett's brother, John Garrett, no longer a part of the staff. The defensive coordinator that Jason Garrett liked and admired and was aligned with, Rob Ryan, not a part of the staff anymore. Jason Garrett's longtime play calling duties, when the Cowboys last year finished sixth in the league in total offense, not a part of his repertoire anymore. It's going to belong to Bill Callahan. Clearly, there are changes afoot in Dallas. Most of them do not point favorably at Jason Garrett, and clearly that's going to heighten the tension and the attention that's on him in what is a critical season for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Adam, thanks very much. Well, I know as a member of the media, we think this is about as juicy as it gets, but you guys, as former players, if you're in the locker room, and you hear this coming from reporters, this is what's being said, how would you all interpret this if you're a player for the Cowboys?
You know, I'll use a situation as a player. Like, when we drafted Randy Moss, like, if they bring Randy Moss to the Vikings, they have Randy Moss the first day of practice line up in the slot, I got reason to be concerned, because that's my position. Now, Jason Garrett has cut his teeth in this league as a play caller. Him being a former quarterback, that would be his strength. So for me, and the lack of openness right there, there's a... Typically, if there's a little smoke, something would power.
Oh, there's a fire now.
Let's get a little report from Dallas.
There's an absolute fire here. I think you said he's cut his teeth in his league as an offensive coordinator. And I think one thing about Jason Garrett, the writing's on the wall. He wants to control his own destiny. And he wants to be the guy, not only the head coach, but the offensive coordinator, just in case he loses his job. He can always say, I went about it my way. I called the plays. And, hey, it didn't work out, but... You know, at least he controlled his destiny. So, of course, he's a little upset about the situation. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious.
Now, you heard that, and I'm going to tell you something. At the end of that, you heard sound bites. But you heard sound bites from Chris Carter, and you heard Darren Woodson, who is a Dallas Cowboy. Darren Woodson, as he talked about how Jason Garrett is probably a little ticked off by this, but he know he has to buy into the team concept. He got to buy into this team concept. Chris Carter said if Randy Moss came in and got into the slot position at that point, it would kind of stir him up a little bit. And I think that's what has happened. Jason Garrett has, you know, something he's been doing all his life. He was a quarterback, and all of a sudden now that dude is being snatched from you. It ain't been like you turning it over. It's being snatched and taken from you. I still say this has got to have an effect on the locker room, and like as the guy stated, there's a fire taking place, and I think Jerry Jones is making it known that if this thing gets rocky earlier in the year, there's going to be change. What do you think about Chris Carter and Darren Woodson's comments there on that soundbite?
I definitely agree with what Chris saying. If I was playing a certain position and they came out in practice and lined someone else up in my position, what are you trying to tell me? You know, I would have that question in my head, like, what are you telling me? Am I not good enough for the position, or are you going to put someone else in this position for this upcoming game? You know, and I'm definitely agree with what Dan Woodson also said. I want to control my own destiny. So I think that with Jason Garrett, I think that's going to affect him, you know, in the long run. But right now, there's nothing he really can do. You know, Jerry's not like the typical owner. I mean, he wants to control everything, and right now that's exactly what he's doing. He's controlling the team how he wants to control the team. He has people in places that he wants them in, and he's just going to go with what he wants. And so right now, he's like basically Jason Garrett has to bite the bullet, you know, take what's been given to him, which is just it's a head coaching position. I mean, he still has a say-so, but at the end of the day, he won't be the one calling the plays.
And that,
they still have to go through him, though.
And they got to go – regardless, I think decisions got to be made – game plan wise, I think you got to go through Jason Garrett. And now, if I'm the head coach and all of a sudden your game plan is not something that I'm fond of, do Jason Garrett has the authority to say, no, we're not running that. We're
right
not
now,
running this. No.
And that's the question. That's the big question right now. We really won't know until the season, you know, the season starts, whether or not he has that authority to, you know, be like, no, we're not running that. That's a terrible play call, or I don't agree with what what game plan you have for this upcoming game. We won't know like that, and it's really that it sucks for him. But I mean, that's what reality is right now, and like I said, as us as fans and as the media, we'll find out about that as soon as the season starts or as soon as it gets rocky. You know, like you said earlier, if it gets rocky, then we'll definitely find out.
And I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to be some things shaking up in Valley Ranch this year if it doesn't go like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones wants to get back to the promised land of the Super Bowls. And I don't know how far the Dallas Cowboys is at this point going toward that goal, but we'll find out. But let's get into it now. And as we talk and talk about confusion, Major League Baseball is having so much confusion, folks. They having to suspend some of their top elite guys. Outside the Lines did an exclusive story on Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball will seek to suspend about 20 players connected to the Miami Area Clinic at the heart of the ongoing performance enhancement drug scandal, including Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun, possibly within the next few weeks. Outside the Line, as I told you, they did this story on this performance enhancing drug, PEDS as they call it. And some of their players, some of their big star players have gotten caught up in this scandal. Tony Bosch is the guy that, you know, owned the clinic, and he's denying some of the stuff, but he's also came out and said that, you know, if Major League Baseball say that he's cooperating, he will, in turn, help Major League Baseball. Now, it's amazing how this thing is playing out when it comes to, you know, you look at Alex Rodriguez. Now, how does this affect, and we heard years ago when Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds and all these guys were hitting home runs out the park, and a lot of people saying that it will affect how they are looked at when it comes to the Hall of Fame. How do you think this affects Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun as a few of these guys when it comes to their chances in the Hall of Fame?
I'm going to first start with Alex Rodriguez. I think he has not a chance in hell to make it to the Hall of Fame, especially after he's already been, you know, caught having illegal drugs or illegal performing enhancing drugs in his system before, and, you know, be linked to this scandal once again, which is, it might be with his second or third time being linked to a scandal like this. The voters are not going to vote him in. They're not going to vote him into the Hall of Fame because I don't even think he'll have an asterisk around up next to his name like you would say a Sammy Sosa or a Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds. He's going to have an X on it across his name. Like, no, we're not going to vote him into the Hall of Fame because he's a cheater. Like, you know, he's been caught before. He apologized, you know, on national television, said he wouldn't do it again, and then it came up again, and now it's coming up for a third time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
he's not going to get in. As far as Brian Braun, I think he was the one player that actually appealed and won his appeal. Was that last season?
Yep.
Okay, and so he possibly can get in if this comes out in his favor. If this doesn't come out in his favor, then he's going to have an X on his name too. And he's a great player, but I'm starting to look at baseball in a total different eye now, because I'm just starting to think that all the great ones are cheaters. And I'm not, I hate to put that tag on them because of what someone else did to them or did to the sport in the past or in the present. But that's just basically what baseball is becoming. It's becoming, you know, it's becoming a sport known for cheating. And I don't mean cheating on the field. I'm just saying behind the scenes, as far as your conditioning and your off season and your workout programs and your physical health. And I guess trying to get back or get to the top of to the promised land or become one of the best players, they're having to cheat to do so. And I honestly don't agree with it.
Because I think when you look at Major League Baseball and you look at the whole thing surrounding this P scandal, when you're talking about 20 players. And you're talking about some big name players in Major League Baseball that is involved in this scandal. Now, do they push the issue with Tony Bosch and say, okay, now listen, because I'm quite sure the FBI and the DEA will get involved in this and say, you know, you've been accused, and then Major League Baseball say they are going to seek a, you know, major lawsuit against Bosch, you know, Tony Bosch in this case for this speed, you know, scandal. But now, here is a guy that can possibly, the way this thing goes, you can possibly receive jail time. So I'm quite sure he's going to want to cooperate, because Major League Baseball is saying possibly 100 games
right
for some of these guys. 100 games. That's,
I mean, and that's crazy. That's crazy. 100 games, but at the end of the day, I feel like if you're caught cheating, then you deserve it. You deserve it. You know, I've seen players be suspended 50 games before, but, you know, with these two players and I guess the 18 others that they said they're going to, you know, come out, they haven't really went down a list of ball players yet, but I'm pretty sure some of those names are probably going to catch our attention.
Some of the names are out. Some of the names are out.
Well, I've only heard those two. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody else.
Bartolo Colon from the Athletic A's, Nelson Cruz from the Rangers, Gonzalez from the Nationals, the Cabrero from the Padres, Cabrero from the Blue Jays. Some of the names are out.
Ooh. Yeah, and, you know, baseball has so many players, I can't keep up with them, with all these people. But, yeah, I definitely have heard about some of those people, like you said, especially with Cruz and me being in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I remember that being a very big topic around town.
And you know, right. Now you know Bosch is, and he's scheduled to meet with the Major League Baseball in their New York office on Friday to begin sharing information and material. He's expected to meet with the lawyers and the investigators for several days, and they're saying following that there could be an announcement of the suspensions within the next 2 weeks. So I guess they're looking to see what they're going to get out of this from
right.
Tony Bosch. And I think Bosch noted that he's in a no-win situation, and I think he's going to cooperate with whatever it takes to keep his name clear because, like I say, the U.S. attorney, you know, as it said, even in this article that Outside the Lines wrote, and it says sources discussed between Bosch and the Major League Baseball where the decision was delayed. Bosch lawyers spoke with U.S. attorney office to get a sense of what source of legal jeopardy Bosch might face. And I'm quite sure when you got to deal with the U.S. attorney, that's federal, you're going to make sure that you cooperate because you don't want this to come back and bite you if a player decides that he wants to turn before Tony Bosch, you know, turns. And I think that's what they're looking at. I think the feds, you know, is looking into this and seeing where this may lead to. But, I mean, it's crazy the way, like you said earlier, the way Major League Baseball is going, and that was one of the topics talked about long time ago, is their, you know, their ability to host their drug policy is unreal. It is unreal. But before that, we're going to play on this next thing. We're going to play our audio number 15 as they talked about baseball and peds. You're going to hear here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to play that. And I want folks, people to hear a lot of what's going on with Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball is preparing to suspend about 20 players, including Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun, based on Tony Bosch's testimony and documents obtained by MLB investigators. The documents have been in the media since January, handwritten notes from the now-shuttered Biogenesis Clinic in Miami, listing the names of major and minor league players who allegedly received PEDs, including stars like Rodriguez, Melky Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, and Braun, who failed a steroid test in 2011, but successfully appealed his suspension.
If I've ever made any mistakes in my life, I've taken responsibility for my actions. I truly believe in my heart, and I would bet my life that this substance never entered my body at any point.
MLB officials remain convinced he had doped, however, with the assistance of Bosch. When Braun's name appeared on Biogenesis documents, Braun explained by saying his attorneys had consulted with Bosch during his appeal.
What services did you offer Braun?
I haven't offered Braun any services.
So when he says that you were a paid advisor to his legal team, what did you supply in return for that?
I just answered a few questions from his legal team, not from Braun.
Bosch denied dealing PEDs in an interview with Outside the Lines, but sources say he's in agreement to give baseball investigators his full cooperation in exchange for the following: that MLB drop the civil lawsuit filed against Bosch in March, that MLB tell any law enforcement agency investigating Bosch that he cooperated and deserves leniency, and that baseball indemnify him for any civil liability arising from his cooperation. Bosch is expected to say that he provided banned drugs to players, and in the case of A-Rod, injected the ailing Yankee slugger himself. Rather than seek standard 50-game suspensions for first-time offenders, however, one source familiar with MLB's investigation said the commissioner's office is considering 100-game suspensions for some players, including A-Rod and Braun.
Now, Bill, you heard, and it talked about how Tony Bosch is saying that, hey, you know, I got to cooperate here because I don't know what legal situation that I have put myself in. So I want to make sure that there were several things in that he said he wanted to make sure that there's no lawsuit and that Major League Baseball lets the federal authorities know that he is cooperating. Because when I hear that sounds like, hey, I'm going to go in here and, buddy, you guys that are out here that I had the service, I'm telling everything. How you think some players that name is not on this list but may have done this, do you feel like they're right at this point running scared?
Yeah, they're shaking in their boots right now, Tony. I would be. You know, I didn't think that. I mean, I guess coming in, they didn't think that, you know, this would ever get out. Don't know how they didn't think that. But with that being said, and he's gonna cooperate with MLB and with the government getting involved. These are the feds, you know, all these different government agents. Yeah, he's gonna definitely tell it all, and he's gonna tell on anybody and everybody that had anything to do with him and his clinic and his performance enhancing drugs that he, you know, supplied these people. So they have every right to be scared, but at the end of the day, it's their fault for cheating. I have no sympathy for anybody that gets caught in this situation. You know, cheating is a crime in the sports. It's a crime anywhere, cheating in general. So, you know, especially within sports. And like I said, I don't agree with it. And so with that, with if they get caught and they're suspended 400 games, then so be it. That's just what they deserve.
Now, and hit on another note in baseball, hit on another thing in baseball, not to be picking on baseball, because we got to get to the NBA and talk some NBA situation with, I'm going to tell you now, we're going to get into that, but Karl Malone leaves off Michael Jordan off his top five of all time. But we're going to get into that. Now, I want to say that for the fan. We're going to get into that. Now, I want to get deep in that. But let's, you know, we got another investigation going on in Major League Baseball, and that's with Chris Perez. Drug agency investigating a suspected marijuana shipment mailed to a suburban home of Cleveland Indians. Close up, Chris Perez, authorities said on Wednesday. Wow. That's unbelievable. That in this day and age, that anyone will be mailing marijuana is beyond my control. Don't mail it. Just fly. You got enough money, man. Fly to California. Fly to some of these states that has legal. As a matter of fact, you just go to, if I'm not mistaken, I think you go to Colorado and just smoke it as you walk down the street.
Exactly.
I think in Colorado, you just smoke it as you walk down the street, because it is legal in Colorado to smoke marijuana.
By state law.
Yeah, by state law.
It's not legal, I guess, by federal law.
Federal laws. No, I mean, you know, the feds are never going to give up on that, because that's money.
Yeah,
to them,
exactly.
That's money. They're never going to. But, hey, how many people you think individually walking down the streets of Denver, Colorado is going to be stopped by a federal agent saying, we're going to give you a ticket for smoking a marijuana joint? Not that many. So if your local municipalities don't do it, you scot free. You are scot free. But Chris Perez has been under investigation. But now let's leave baseball alone, because baseball got problems of their own. Let's get into the NBA finals. LeBron came out and made a statement, be that he's not forgotten 07. He's not forgotten over 07 experience with the San Antonio Spurs. And that
I don't
loss.
Think anybody would have. He took a shellacking, four games to zero. And I don't think any athlete with any type of competitive nature or any competitive drive will forget taking a butt kicking like that.
And this is what LeBron said in that loss in 07. They beat us on our home floor. Celebrated on our home floor. I won't forget that. Is that the competitive edge in LeBron that makes LeBron the champion who he is? Because that's tough to take, that another team come on your home court and celebrate after they done smack you down. Severely. I think LeBron had the opportunity at some point to take one of the, you know, key shots in that game, and I think he missed it. And now here you go with the stronger team, the Miami Heat, D-Wade, Bosch. You got a stronger team. Now you're playing the San Antonio Spurs again. Do you feel with that energy, his other players on his team going to vibe off that and say, okay, we behind you, buddy. We want to kick butt. And then a lot of those guys saying, hey, we want these rings too. We want to be celebrated, because with rings come big contracts for other guys.
Right, definitely.
So now here we go again. What you gonna say, Bibbs? Go ahead.
LeBron's a competitor, and you know he. I definitely think he wants, like you said, he wants his revenge on San Antonio. But if Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh play anything like they play in his last series against the Pacers, they don't have a chance in hell against the San Antonio Spurs.
No. Now you got to figure they got to play Tim Duncan. They had problems.
They have to play better.
You know, they had problems down in the paint. So now you got to play. You playing a big man like Tim Duncan. Boy, if you right. play anything like that, I'm gonna tell you something. What I felt like when looking at that game and looking at that Indiana Pacers game, that last game, to me, I say a lot. I say Birdman was a lot to do with that win. You got
to
figure
he's the glue to everything that's going on with the Miami Heat. Like when he came to the team, they went on the 27 game, long winning streak. The winning streak. When he became a member of the Miami Heat.
You know, he was suspended the one game that they lost.
Yeah.
He was suspended that game.
So, you know, without Birdman, I don't even think the Miami Heat would have gotten past the Indiana Pacers without him.
So now here we go. Go ahead.
I'm not saying that they're not a great team, but the facts basically show that they were not. They were a good team before the Birdman. They were an amazing team. They were NBA champions. But with this guy on the floor, it makes them a total different monster. They actually have somebody that can defend the basket.
Exactly.
And they didn't have that before.
No, they didn't. And I'm gonna tell you, the kids here in South Florida love the Birdman. Kids go to school now with the Birdman hairdo. This guy has created a image for himself that he can make a lot of money off. The Birdman, everybody loves. But I'm going to tell you now, now we're talking NBA basketball. I'm going to let you hear this soundbite. And this is soundbite number 18. I'm going to let you hear this. And we're going to charm in on it. We got to charm in on it because it blew my mind when I heard it. But let's play the soundbite. Soundbite number 18. Let's play a little bit of this. A snippet.
Got to have Will Chamberlain as my center. I got to have John Stockton as my point guard. Okay, I got to have LeBron James at my power forward position. I got to put Oscar Robertson at my two guard. I need a three man. Yeah. I'm going to shock the world. I have to put Scottie Pippen as my three man.
All right, I know that Michael beat Carl twice in the NBA Finals, Chris, but no Michael Jordan on Carl's all-time starting five. What do you make of that?
Bibbs, you heard it. You heard him say it as he stated. He wanted Wilt Chamberlain as his center, John Stockton as his point, LeBron as his power forward, and Oscar Robert as his shooting guard, and he's going to shock the world with Scottie Pippen at the three. What do you think about Karl Malone coming out saying his top five all time, and he leaves off MJ?
Maybe he has a little. this is a difficult one here, Tony. Maybe he has a little animosity towards Jordan because you know he prohibited him or stopped him he stopped him from winning the championship that he thought he might have won in the late 90s. So maybe he had some type of animosity, but I can't really say that because Scottie Pippen was on that same team.
Exactly.
That stopped him from winning the championship. So I really don't know. Maybe that's just his opinion. That's what he feels like his top five team would be. He left himself off. So
yeah,
he's
did.
One of the greatest. He's one of the greatest, power forwards to ever play the game. So, you know, he left himself off and Michael Jordan off. I would have never left Jordan off anything. But, you know.
As you said, Malone is the second all-time in career scoring behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So,
right.
Like you said, he left himself off. But then you got to figure, he left Kareem Abdul-Jabbar off, too.
He put Will Chamberlain.
Yeah. He put Will in front of Kareem.
And I never got the opportunity to see Will Chamberlain play out. I know it's about the 100-point game, which I've never seen any film on. You know, and he played way before my time. You know, even before my, like, that was like my parents' time. You know, so I really can't, you know, say why he put Chamberlain ahead of Jabbar, but, you know, obviously he has some, he did for some reason, you know, that's, and that's his top five. So
yeah,
and
that is,
I can't really argue with it. That's his top five. It's not my top five, but that's his top five. Why he left Jordan off? Because Oscar Robertson plays a shooting guard also. That's what I'm going to say. And the Big O was a triple-double machine, so, you know, that's why. That's why I say he left him off. That's going to be my answer, Tony.
How do you leave off what we consider as one of the greatest to ever play the game?
Well, in my era, he is the greatest to ever play the game. You know, my generation. You know, and LeBron's that person now, but LeBron came around the same time that I was graduating from high school. We were probably graduating around the same era, so, you know, he's with the younger generation, a little bit younger than me. But I don't know. I really don't know, Tony. I can't call it. Like I say, he might have some animosity towards Jordan. You know, Jordan stole the ball from him in game six and then went down and hit a game winner to win a championship in his last playoff series ever. And that might be the reason why he left him off. That might be the reason. I just watched the replay of the game a couple of days ago. And that just might, like I said, that might be the reason that he left Michael Jordan off. He had some type of animosity towards him. But at the end of the day, Oscar Robertson is no slouch at the shooting guard position. So, you know, I can say he picked an amazing player to fill the void of not having Mike on the team.
And like you said, it is his top five. So he called his top five, and he said Wilt Chamberlain, John Stockton, LeBron James, Oscar Roberts, and Scottie Pippen. A man has the right people to his own opinion. We're going to leave the Tony Sands Show here. I'm going to play that soundbite again, and then guess what, folks? We're signing off. Me, Mr. Bibbs, we're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show, but I want to play that soundbite again. Leave that in your mind. Karl Malone's all-time 5-team without MJ here on the Tony Sands Show. That's, and like I said, in all of it, and that soundtrack number 18, guys, because I had to dig and find that because I really wanted to find that when I heard about that. But it's number 18. We're going to play that leaving out of here for you guys here on the Tony Sands Show. Saying good night.
Got to have Wilt Chamberlain as my center. I got to have John Stockton as my point guard. Okay, I got to have LeBron James at my power forward position. I got to put Oscar Robertson at my two guard. I need a three-man.
Yeah.
I'm going to shock the world. I have to put Scottie Pippen as my three-man.
All right, I know that Michael beat Carl twice in the NBA Finals, Chris, but no Michael Jordan on Carl's all-time starting five. What do you make of that?
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hatin' on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.